The meeting of the Gwynn Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Polkowski?
7:07 PM.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on September 23rd, 2019. Faxing to 3 newspapers designated by the board, Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Also posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Polkowski, may we please have a roll call?
Sure. Ms. Grant?
Here.
Ms. Brennan?
Present.
Ms. Brooks?
Here.
Ms. Emery? Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Ms. Olosky? And Dr. Iamaki?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Brennan, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, will you be the process guardian for tonight's meeting, sir?
Certainly.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly board meeting of the Clinton Township School District. Today is Monday, September 30th, 2019, and as usual, we have a very busy agenda this evening. The first portion of this evening's meeting will be led by Ms. Gwen Thornton, our NJSBA field representative. Ms. Thornton will guide the board through the process of establishing our district and board goals for the year. She will also conduct the annual code of ethics training required under New Jersey law. Each of these items that I just mentioned are required for all boards of education to complete on an annual basis. Prior to the board developing and approving district and board goals this evening, Ms. Thornton will review the strategic planning process that the district's administration, staff, members of the Board of Education, and members of the community participated in earlier this year. Dr. Cohn will then review the process that her staff is currently going through to develop the components that will be executed to ensure the success of each goal in the plan and that is achieved. So let's get started. I'd like to introduce Ms. Gwen Thornton to the public and to the board this evening. Ms. Gwen Thornton is our, as I mentioned before, our field representative from New Jersey School Boards. Currently, she provides direct field service support to New Jersey school boards located in Hunterdon, Middlesex, Somerset, and Union counties. She comes to us with an impressive background and years of experience and knowledge in education, experience with school boards, governance, district policy, and the list goes on. Ms. Thornton has served on boards of education in Burlington, Camden, and Gloucester counties. Prior to joining New Jersey School Boards Association, Ms. Thornton was the president of the Bridgewater Regional School District's board. She is a former high school social studies teacher. Ms. Thornton, on behalf of the board, I'd like to welcome you back to Clinton Township.
Thank you.
And the floor is yours.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. If you just bear with me, I just have to find.
Ms. Thornton, do you want to swing the microphone back towards you?
I've got you. Thank you. Got a question.
It's a pleasure to be back in Clinton Township. It's hard to believe we're already well over a month into another school year. Time goes way too fast. And so it really is a pleasure for me to be here. This evening I'm here to do your annual ethics training. I'm delighted that your board attorney is here as well, because certainly when it comes to experts, Vito would be your man. And it's a pleasure to see you as well. So really, the School Ethics Act is the minimum requirement of behavior expected and required of all Board of Education members. It goes a long way to ensuring that the public has trust and respect for the decisions that you make and enables them to see you in action. And it really does speak to the kind of conduct you must work to avoid, to even giving the perception or impression that there perhaps is an issue or a conflict. The School Ethics Commission was established along with the Code of Ethics in 2001, which really does lay out what are conflicts of interest for board members, requires your financial disclosure statements, which you've already all filled out as school leaders, and then, of course, the training requirements for all Board of Education members across the state. The School Ethics Commission is composed of 9 members, 5 of whom are non-school officials. 2 are school board members, 2 are school administrators. They are appointed by the governor, and they serve a 3-year term, and no more than 5 can be from any one political party to ensure the nonpartisanship of that organization. The commission meets monthly and hears complaints against board members from all across the state from individuals that may indeed file, okay? They issue 2 different kinds of decisions. They can issue an advisory decision as well as responding to a formal ethics complaint. Advisory opinions are issued on a prospective basis. So if a board member believes they might have a conflict in a particular area, they can write and inquire to the Ethics Commission as to whether their behavior, if they were to do or engage in a particular discussion or vote on a particular issue, would be a conflict. And the Ethics Commission will issue an advisory opinion to them. There are times when the Ethics Commission believes that an advisory opinion has such a widespread impact across the state and could impact board members in every district, they will make their advisory opinions public. When they do so, they remove all identifying names and district names, but it is instructive for all board members, which is why being up to date on the advisory opinions is as important as knowing what the ethics complaint decisions are. There is an expectation from the SEC that if they've issued an advisory, that you as board members will respect their opinion on a particular issue and follow whatever directives may be included in that. Ethics complaints are filed against individuals, but again, it can be instructive for all board members when you read through those ethics decisions in terms of your code of conduct and kinds of things that you may want to think about. The SEC has the authority, but is not required to either provide a reprimand, a censure, a suspension, or a removal of a board member. And they have indeed, in the past, although it's not frequent, they have been known to remove board members. Board members, for example, who for whatever set of reasons fail to fill out their financial disclosure forms, it's not unusual for those individuals to be suspended until such time as they complete those financial pieces. The commission cannot overturn an act of the board. They can only adjudicate a particular act of an individual, and only the commissioner of education has the authority to overturn an act on behalf of the board. So you need to know that the commission, when they meet monthly, hear ethics complaints. I will tell you that unfortunately they're spending a lot of their time of recent months dealing with social media issues as they have emerged as probably the latest, greatest area of concern and complexity for Board of Education members to navigate. So that is something that they are dealing with on a regular basis. So here are the Code of Ethics. You have seen these before. I have added this year for your benefit because I know that as a Board of Education, you have a policy in your bylaws that specifies a code of values, of core values that you abide by. So the first one is you're required to uphold all of the state, federal, local regulations. You have no choice in that. And the changes must be made about through your district only through legal and ethical means. Your core value says do what is right, equitable, and honest. So I think it's helpful for you to see that that board bylaw, which I have read, aligns in most instances to your code of ethics. So it is, I thought, would be helpful for you to see that. So for example, there were some boards when Park came on the scene that wanted to not abide by the state's regulation to administer Park. And the bottom line was whether a Board of Education thought that Park was a good assessment or a poor assessment meant nothing, because at the end of the day, it was part of the law and regulation, so you were going to be required to give it regardless. As a body, you have to uphold all of the requirements of those laws. You're required to make decisions in the best interests of all children and maintain the public schools, regardless of a child's background, gender, race, religion, ethnicity. And that you really should make decisions in the best interests of all children, not your own, not just the third grade, not the lacrosse team, but in terms of all children all the time. Your core value here says that you will value and support the learning of each child, and that you will acknowledge and appreciate diversity. And I think it's important to note that you're required to do that by the Code of Ethics, but again, your core values support that initiative. You're required to confine your board action to policy making, planning, and appraisal, that you will help to frame policies and plans only after the board has been consulted by those impacted. Your core values, again, set clearly defined goals, hold yourselves accountable for those, and engage all stakeholders in the decision-making process wherever appropriate. Your major responsibilities are policy development, planning for the future, which you've seen through the strategic plan, you do through annual goal setting, and appraisal, and you do that through the evaluation of the superintendent. Your role is not to engage in the day-to-day operation of the school district. You have educational experts who you employ to accomplish those tasks. Okay? You will carry out your responsibilities not, again, to administer the schools, meaning not to run them on a day-to-day basis, but with your colleagues to see that they are well run. Boards of Education only have authority when you are sitting in a duly advertised meeting of the Board of Education, as you are sitting here this evening, to make decisions, and the majority of the board is the only group that is entitled to have your administration act. So individually, you have no authority away from the board table when you are out in the community as individual board members, okay? Your core values: be open, honest, timely in your communication, maximize the use and allocation of your resources, celebrate achieving established goals and successes, and keeping commitments and holding true to your agreements, because it does require a team to make the district run effectively. Recognizing again that authority rests with the board, and not taking any personal promises nor take any private action that might compromise the board. You don't have the authority to resolve issues on your own, and you don't want to take any private action in the interest of solving a problem that could lead to a greater problem, even though you're trying to be helpful. So core values here that are in your bylaws: taking responsibility for your own actions and decisions, honoring the final decisions of the board, and engaging in professional growth, continuous professional growth and development to ensure that you are well prepared to make the kinds of decisions that you need to make to see that every child in your community meets and exceeds their potential. Refusing to surrender your independent judgment to any special interest group or partisan political groups, or to use the schools for personal gain or for the gains of your friends. You cannot allow your decision making to be influenced by personal relationships with folks, by special interests or political groups. As you know, Board of Education elections are nonpartisan, and when those elections are over, it is time to put that behind you and begin governing for the good of all children. And so the core values that I thought aligned best to this was to be open to new ideas, to value and respect the contributions of each person who sits on the board, to be respectful of those differences, to listen carefully with an open mind to individual viewpoints and ideas, but not to surrender your individual judgment to perhaps a group in the community or perhaps a faction on the board. Holding confidential all matters that if disclosed would needlessly injure the school or individuals, providing accurate information to the staff, to the community. So you cannot discuss what takes place in executive session with board members who are conflicted, excuse me, your spouse, your domestic partner, family, friends, or anyone else who is not seated on the board. And you must ensure that the board keeps the community informed on progress and needs of the district. There is a process that is in place in your policy for ensuring that closed session minutes, once the need for confidentiality has no longer exists, that those minutes will become public. There is a process for that, so that there are certain matters that will always remain confidential, but those matters that once the need for confidentiality has passed, those minutes of those meetings will in fact become public, so that you are being as transparent as you can within the confines of the law, and that process is in place to ensure that transparency and accountability to your community. So the core value you articulate very similarly to this, which is to say you will maintain confidentiality of information that is entrusted to you as board members. Failing to maintain confidentiality can expose the district and the board to liability in a number of ways. It can damage students, it can damage staff, it can damage community members, and that's not a place where you want the board to be. Okay? You're required to vote to appoint the best qualified personnel available after consideration of the recommendation of your superintendent, your chief administrative officer. Once that decision is made, you don't want to undermine a decision of the board. Again, the board governs by majority. That does not mean that you have to vote yes on every single personnel appointment, as long as your rationale for voting no is neither arbitrary nor capricious. Okay? But you need to dedicate yourselves, again, the core value, to meeting the needs of our students, staff, and community. And your administrators are the ones who are most able to determine who are the very best individuals to employ. No board can hire anyone without the affirmative recommendation of the superintendent. So you need to keep that in mind. The board is not permitted to hire anyone absent a recommendation of your chief school administrator. You're required to support and protect school personnel in the proper performance of their duties, which means you need to make sure that you are observing the chain of command and you do not publicly criticize staff members. To do so is violative of the code of ethics. So again, your core value, practice the golden rule in thought, word, and deed, and refrain from disparaging other individuals or their ideas, particularly as it pertains to staff, because you are required to support them. And there are other ways that you can, if you have a concern, address that. You're required to refer all complaints to the chief school administrator, and then the board will act on those complaints at a public meeting only after the failure of an administrative solution. So all complaints should be referred to the superintendent. Don't make any promises to help or act on citizen complaints. You have no authority to do so. What you can do, the best that you can do for your community and your students, is to provide your students, your parents, stakeholders, community members, with the ability to access the system, to be able to give them the information to go to where they need to go to get an answer to their question, their complaint, their concern. So knowing that chain of command, knowing where to send folks so that they can access the system and get resolution to whatever their concern is a critically important piece for all board members to know and keep in mind. So if they have a busing issue, you can send them to the coordinator of busing or transportation. If they have a financial issue, they can go to the business administrator. If they have a problem with the teacher, they start at the lowest level and make sure that they've talked to the teacher before they raise or elevate their complaint or concern higher than that. Giving people access and the information to know how to access will assist them in getting their concerns resolved. Okay? So, in terms of conflicts of interest, you must recuse yourself if there is a benefit to you as a school board official or to a member of your immediate family due to a business interest, financial involvement. You cannot accept gifts or favors with the intent to influence. Any kind of personal involvement that would create a benefit for you that was different than the benefit that would accrue to any other member of the community or to any other board member. I often get asked if you can vote on a field trip, for example, if you have a child in a grade that's going on a field trip. You can, because the benefit that's going to accrue to your child in the fourth grade is no different than every other fourth grader. So you're not deriving any personal benefit from that. Okay? In terms of service or employment that may prejudice your independent judgment, keep in mind that the definition of the immediate family is spouse, dependent child, residing in the same household around these conflicts of interest. But the School Ethics Commission has begun to use the broader definition of family as it looks at ethics that is articulated in the nepotism policies and regulations, okay, which is a much broader definition, okay? Who qualifies as a relative under that broader definition? And I'm not going to read all of these to you, but you can see that it has been expanded to include civil union partners, stepchildren, in-laws, siblings, whether related to you directly as your brother or sister, or whether they're related by marriage to your spouse. And so that's an expansion of that particular piece, okay? Districts may not employ a family member of a board member or the chief school administrator. If you have a family member who was employed in the district prior to 2008 and you came on the board after that, they are grandfathered, but no one now can be recommended for employment after 2008, okay? And that's important. There are exceptions that apply, and the exception is this, and it's very narrow in scope. If there's a position in the district, let's say for a half Mandarin, half AP physics teacher, and your family member happens to have that dual certification, the executive county superintendent might approve that. But it has to be approved by the executive county superintendent, and it has to be the only person available in a particular area that would be best qualified for that job. That's an unusual circumstance. That generally doesn't happen. But that is the exception, okay? In terms of personnel, if you have a family member employed in the district working here in Clinton Township, any kind of employment matters having to do with the superintendent, superintendent's evaluation, if you were looking for a new superintendent, anything having to do with the search, the selection of the search firm, a vote to hire, evaluation of the contract, you are conflicted out of that, and all of that you may not participate in any way, shape, or form. This has been expanded to include both substitute teachers as well as summer help. Some districts hire students, particularly high school districts, to work and do work on fields and that kind of thing. So if you have a family member employed in that capacity, that takes you out of all of those pieces having to do with the superintendent. In terms of collective bargaining, again, it's a little broader now, but if, and you can read through this chart, which you can see, as to whether you can participate or not participate in negotiations, okay? Something that is relatively new, it used to be that if you were endorsed by the Teachers Association, that you were then not permitted to participate in negotiations for a year following that endorsement. The School Ethics Commission has now held that it does not create a per se future conflict, meaning it's not automatic anymore, unless the contribution was given with an intent to influence a member, which again would be very hard to prove. So that's changed, that's a little different, okay? so you need to just think about that. The other area of concern for folks has been around volunteerism. And again, there was just a relatively recent volunteerism decision that expanded the okay things to do, that included a number of PTA kinds of positions and homeroom parents that are acceptable. So you need to keep that in mind. Again, we always recommend that if you have a concern, check with your board attorney, who will be able to give you clarity on whether it's acceptable to volunteer on that. The guidelines for that seem to be amount of contact time with students and contact time with staff, either taking direction from staff or attempting to give direction to staff, which is not something board members are authorized to do ever, okay? The only person that the board is authorized to direct staff member is the superintendent. So you just need to be mindful of that as you're thinking about your volunteer work within the district. They've also changed their position slightly around interview committees, and they have said that board member involvement for positions other than superintendent is not encouraged. However, it used to be hands off altogether. They've now said one or two board members, as long as the administrative staff coordinates and the CSA recommends it, may participate in observations and assessments for high-level administrative positions. You still are not permitted to conduct exit interviews. So you can see there's sort of this diametrically opposed position in some way that they have created and parsed it differently. But again, if board members want to sit on an interview committee for a high-level administrative position with the approval of the superintendent, not the exec, but your suit, two members may participate in that particular piece. So we recommend that you develop a list of board members and what potential conflicts there may be, consulting always with your board attorney to make sure that that's not problematic, and then continue to check school board notes, which you all receive, I'm sure, electronically in order to be green and save paper, to keep abreast of any recent and newly released advisory or ethics decisions, because we routinely print those for you, okay, so that you're aware of them, okay? So just in closing, school officials just must always be cognizant of their responsibility to maintain the public trust in what you do, to honor their obligation to serve the best interest of every child in the community, and to really periodically reevaluate the potential of conflicts to make sure that you're not accidentally overstepping, not that you went on purpose, but just accidentally as family circumstances change and employment situations change. So I know I've gone through this quickly, but I know that you have a full meeting this evening, and we also want to get to goal setting. So I'm going to turn it over to Michelle to talk about the strategic planning process before we really talk about, and in your packet are the links to all of the decisions that are included in that PowerPoint presentation that is in your packet. So she's going to have to pull up your... Where'd he go? All right, let's do this.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Great. So just a little bit about our strategic planning. We had the opportunity to get together over this last year. We had three public meetings to solicit some information, some input from teachers, parents, administrators, community members, technology staff. And we went through the process of the strategic plan. At the first meeting, I was able to give us an update as to our previous strategic plan and where we ended up with things, and gave us a nice starting off point for things to consider. Over the course of the three meetings, we discussed the strengths and challenges we face as a district, as well as the direction we want to take to move forward. We had a great turnout, and I'll show you those numbers shortly, and we had wonderful conversations. The stakeholder groups created 5 different goals, which were then turned over to the administrative teams. And we condensed those goals as 2 of them were similar, you'll see in the presentation here tonight. Just a little bit about the process. So the process of strategic planning, Gwen Thornton is here with us this evening. Each of our meetings, she was able to come out and meet with all of the participants and move us through a process. This evening, afterwards, we're hopefully approving where the strategic plan that we have come up with. We'll have some goal statements and objectives for our plan this evening. And there's still more work to do on it. It doesn't end there. We get a little bit more of opportunity for teachers and staff to work together with the administrative team to really refine where we're going with the goals and objectives that have been determined. The 3 meeting dates, and I have to say one of the challenges I identified right away was the weather, as we had to reschedule our 3rd meeting, maybe even our 2nd meeting a number of times. We had January 8th was our first meeting with 18 participants. And at that meeting, we had the participants divided up into smaller groups, into teams, blue dot, red dot, orange dot teams, for those of you that were there, to discuss and share ideas. The ideas were then all shared together with the group at the end of the evening and posted on the website as outcomes for strategic planning meeting 1, and so on with each planning meeting. And you can still see that they're on our website if you'd like to look at the details. Some of the things that we talked about that came up as challenges for the district were things like declining enrollment, the mental health and wellness of our students, budgeting, loss of state aid. And so those are some of the things that guided the conversations and where we were going with what, here's what we have, where do we want to go with this? During the 2nd session, again, the participants were divided into those teams, different teams this time. We mixed people up a bit, and we had different people participating. 37 people came out for that evening, which was very nice. Again, really great conversation. This was more of an evening to talk about our vision. Where do we see the district going? Things like critical thinking, open-mindedness, respectful leaders, resilience, perseverance, social-emotional learning. Those were all concepts, and many, many more, if you care to take a look at those lists that are on the website. On the 3rd meeting, with 34 participants, and this is where we had a little bit of snow, we ended up in April. The stakeholders were able to review all of the work from session 1 and session 2 and get an idea of where we wanted to go from here. The common threads were identified. Goal areas and goal statements were then developed. And from this, there were 5 main areas. As the administrative team looked at those 5 areas, we identified that 2 were very similar, and so those became 1 goal. Goal area number 1, on curriculum and instruction, teaching and learning. Create an educational environment where all individuals are inspired to reach beyond their potential. And so that was a really common thread for everyone as we, Gwen Thornton helped us put our thoughts into words and really refine it. Larger, broader topics that we could then narrow down into some objectives. And the next part of our process will be, well, how do we do this? And so that's where we are in the planning process. We decided that it was important to provide educational experience that meets student needs, provide robust opportunities for creative exploration and expression, design learning experiences that are authentic and include technology and STEAM integration, and to ensure that appropriate professional development opportunities and resources were available. To do all those things, we need to teach the teachers. So we need to support what we're doing, and that was part of our plan. Goal area number 2, communications, partnerships, and engagement. to establish the mechanisms that would increase active involvement of community and schools so that a culture of collaboration and partnership is achieved. Research and development for implementation plan for communications. That's going to be a big piece of this. So how do we do this? This is a very big goal. How do we do this? And that's what we'll be working on. Also, to provide a mechanism for community members to provide feedback regarding our schools. We need to hear from people so we have something to go on. We need the feedback to be able to improve and address those ideas. And then to provide opportunities for community engagement. Goal Area 3 is the goal that had been a condensed goal from two that were very similar: health and wellness and social emotional learning. We identified in our conversations that taking care of a whole child involved not just their social emotional, but their little bodies. So how do we keep the students healthy? How do we teach them what's healthy? And how do we help them to make good decisions in that manner? Foster educational growth by maintaining a culture of mental and physical wellness that is valued by all stakeholders. The objectives: explore and implement research-based programs or initiative to determine curricular approaches using social-emotional learning competencies as a guide. Ensure access to professional development opportunities to the broader community. So that's not just the teachers and who we have in the building, but to reach out to the parents as well with those opportunities. Foster growth mindset and develop perseverance. And to develop responsible and informed digital citizens. And the final goal area was regarding financing facilities. To develop and support a financially responsible facilities and finance vision that supports the needs of the Clinton Township School District stakeholders. The objectives include develop a fiscally sustainable budget, maintain and continually update safety and security protocols and building enhancements, research and develop an implementation plan for revenue generating programs, optimize the allocation of our resources, and upgrade and maintain facilities. So that's a large bucket of things to do. So the process for this, our next steps: the approval, hopefully this evening, of the strategic planning goals, and then a creation of action plans and activities, and that gets done amongst our stakeholders in-house. These are the experts. We'll need to establish timelines to complete our plan by It's not 2024, and monitor the progress as we go and provide updates along the way. So we do that with strategic planning, just so we have an idea of how are we doing and what do we need to do and adjust along the way. And so those are that's our strategic planning. I'm going to turn it back over to Gwen Thornton.
Thank you. So what you have just heard is a summary of the strategic planning process. Those goals are intended to be a 3 to 5 year project. They're not intended to be able to be accomplished in a given year. Some of those goals, you may note, may have really high impact and low cost. Some of them are going to have a higher cost, a high impact, but they may have a higher cost, so they might have to be spread over several years. So one of the pieces that your administration is going to be looking at is developing timelines for implementation for that. The beauty of having a strategic plan is that it helps to provide the basis for your annual district goals. And having district goals really allows for effective policy development in case you are missing policy in a particular area, optimizing the allocation of your resources as they become scarcer and scarcer, there are never enough dollars. They provide an objective basis for the chief school administrator's evaluation, and they also are an effective way of communicating with your community. These are our priorities. Those are the priorities for you as a board. They become the district priorities, the priorities for the staff, and hopefully once that all happens, your oars are in the water and everyone is rowing in the same direction to ultimately hit what you're looking to accomplish. It really goes to continuous improvement and to being accountable for you as a board, for the district as a whole, for what you're doing year over year. So when we talk about the governance cycle, you set goals, you receive updates on progress toward the achievement of those district goals, you evaluate at the end of the school year where you are through the evaluation of the superintendent, and then you begin that process all over again. The beauty of having a 3 to 5 year strategic plan is those goals are right there for you to pull from on an annual basis so that you can look at what did we accomplish, where are we today, has anything changed or emerged. I think probably to the folks when we were doing strategic planning, sometimes there are circumstances that emerge in a district that might set you back on your progress toward a strategic plan. The year that Hurricane Sandy hit, a lot of the districts who were working on strategic plans had to put those goals on hold temporarily while they relocated their students, got their buildings back up and running. So heaven forbid, but sometimes there are emergent circumstances in a district, or God forbid your state aid was cut in half, right? So you have to reallocate your resources. Sometimes we can't always predict what will happen, but you can have that plan on an ongoing basis provide you with a framework. So what we're going to work on tonight really are your district goals, and those are the goals that refer to the overall operation of your district, your program and instruction, your staffing, your professional development, your facilities, your finances. There are board goals that refer to your processes and procedures, how you operate. Your board goals should in large part support the district goals by improving your effectiveness as a board and your efficiencies. Sometimes there are chief school administrative goals that come out of the evaluation around the superintendent's professional development, and sometimes superintendents have merit goals which are separate and apart from what we're discussing tonight. They're contractual. But everyone owns the district goals. The district goals should drive the work of your board committees. It should drive what it is you are focusing on during the coming school year. Okay? So as you think about your district goals, you want to think about what is our vision for the district? Where are we today? Where would we like to be by June of 2020? Thinking about your district mission statement, looking at those strategic plans, and then looking at the data that you already have in district and thinking about that, looking at what your previous goals were, what was achieved, what's still in progress. So here is your mission statement. I'm not going to read it to you, but clearly your mission statement talks about what it is that you do and why you do it in terms of achieving excellence for each child, and making sure that you are creating lifelong learners who are responsible citizens as they move on to the high school level. I just put again, I knew that Michelle was doing these, but I rewrote the strategic planning goals that are incorporated, and then the strategic plan that you have in front of you. And again, you know, the educational environment where all individuals can achieve their potential and beyond, involving the community and in collaboration and partnership. Again, social emotional health for health and wellness. Some of you may have seen, we just finished a task force at the association that's being released the 15th of this month at Highland Park High School, by the way, if you're able to get there. And it has some 40 or 50 recommendations for Board of Education around how do we help our students stay mentally healthy and well, because it is an ongoing concern, not just here in Clinton Township, but all across the state, and I will tell you, all across the country. Develop a fiscally responsible facilities and finance vision to support the district. Again, finance is a challenge for every district across the state. Whether your enrollment's declining or your enrollment's increasing, there are never, unfortunately, sufficient dollars to do everything, perhaps, that we would love to be able to do for our kids. So in terms of thinking about data resources, as you think as board members, you know, what do we need to do, and you really do depend on your administration to look at your school performance reports, your proprietary assessments, those enrollment projections, staffing and community and student input, your board self-evaluation, your CUSAC report, the NCLB waiver requirements, which should say ESSA, the Every Child Succeeds Act, No Child Left Behind is no longer in place, it's ESSA. And there are requirements around that. Any kind of board committee recommendations that have come out. But there are other kinds of data to look at, especially when you think of health and wellness, looking at your suspension and discipline data, absentee rates of both students and staff, your violence and vandalism reports, your HIV statistics, culture and climate surveys. Those are all different pieces of data that you can look at as a board to help you determine what you would like to focus on for the coming year. And so what we're going to do tonight is to really articulate, and I'm going to ask Michelle, as the superintendent, to perhaps share with the board some of your thinking around what the district goals you would like to see as you've pulled and worked with those goals from the strategic plan.
So some particular goal that I was looking at regarding social-emotional was to develop and implement the integration of social-emotional learning experiences at the primary and middle school levels by June 2020 to, you know, really infuse, you know, all of those types of lessons. You know, how can we put that into the day-to-day with what the students are doing?
And you would consider this an academic and curricular program?
Yeah, academic and curricular, sure.
Can you say that just louder and again, because I don't write as fast as you speak.
Sorry. To develop and implement the integration.
Okay.
Of social-emotional learning programming at the primary and middle school levels. And that's for all students from, you know, K on up, pre-K to 8, by June 2020. Another area regarding special services, to assess current programs and processes. To identify areas of strength and areas of need. To create an action plan for improvement based on the results of the assessment. Area would be to for resource management, to implement and complete facility upgrades for district security.
I'm assuming in the building?
Yes.
District wide?
Yes. I'd say inside and outside. And then I have a communications goal for number 4, to establish greater transparency and build trust with stakeholders by identifying and implementing strategies including the expansion of the utility of our website. And to begin to begin brand development for the district. Yeah, I know. I was like, I'm done now, so I have to be.
Stuck.
Thank you.
Okay. Thoughts from the board?
Can I ask a clarification question? For the second one, you said assess current programs and processes. Do you mean curricular programs, or do you mean business?
Special services programs.
Special services. Yeah.
Special service programs and services, right?
Mm-hmm.
These all, I think, tie nicely to what's included in the strategic plan. What are the board's thoughts?
I think as Michelle was articulating them, that's what I was thinking, is how nicely they fall into what everybody spoke about over the course of those three meetings, and it's something that the district really should focus on over the course of the next year to move the district forward.
I promise you I will send you a copy that's readable. I know this is not legible. I
you
know
can,
what it says.
If you can read it, we're good.
I can read it.
The communications goal seems to be one way, but the part of the goal area was providing a mechanism for community feedback to come back to us as well. So what I would like to see is an inclusion of, you know, when we talk about expanding the utility of the website.
Oh, good idea.
That it would be including a mechanism for feedback.
A loop.
Yes, and preferably one that's anonymous.
Okay. I think so. Okay, that's a good point. Thank you.
Why would we want it to be anonymous? Would we want to verify that they were constituents in our district?
Well, that would be good. I think that that if you would like to make a suggestion about a member of the community, the teaching or the administrative community, and avail yourself of that opportunity, then you wouldn't do so if you had to attach your name to it. I don't think it's perfect either way, because we won't get some feedback if you require people to identify themselves, and we're likely to get some that spurious if we don't. But there are options that people have. At least having an anonymous method gives somebody a chance to bring up something that they've.
So I think exploring that in the context of that to come, how that will shape up, I think, is to be determined. But
yeah.
Obviously, the goal is to make sure that there's two-way communication and there's a loop.
Yeah,
in
there's already a mechanism for identifying family members, parents, right? So that
yes.
It's only parents, so maybe that it's restricted to people who are already part of the community for anonymous purposes. And then otherwise you have to identify yourself. I think there are ways to do it.
Right. So all I'm suggesting to you is to incorporate language that indicates it will be two-way.
Yeah.
The how we can is an administrative function, and your committees will work on that over the course of the year in moving forward, rather than, because I don't think we're going to solve that tonight with all the potential. Other thoughts?
On the third goal, I think that's something that is definitely on the forefront of everyone's minds these days. If we, I think physical security is good, but also processes and programs that could build security in a multifaceted way. So I wonder if we want to, I'm always a fan of specific goals, but in the case of that one.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So to include some programmatic pieces that will work to ensure increased student and staff safety.
Yes.
We can add that to the language, and that's a good idea.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts?
I like these a lot, Michelle. The one thing I was wondering is for the brand development, is it possible, like we do for the strategic plan, to get some input from the community? Where, you know, what do they see as being the positives? You know, how do they see the district being identified?
That's a great, maybe with a survey or something, we could seek.
Actually, in some of the districts I've seen do this, and one of the ones that comes to mind is Montville. They had the community engaged in the entire process from inception right through completion and around the decisions, whether it just became a brand for the district, and they ultimately in their district decided they sort of wanted individual brands for each school, meaning the schools kept their logos and colors and all of those kinds of decisions. So there was a lot that went into it, and it really was a really good experience for the community and built a lot of goodwill in the community because a lot of folks were involved in that. So I think on multiple levels, I think it helps to brand in terms of thinking about expanding enrollment, right? But also as part of your community engagement piece, that there's an overlap there that you don't yet see, but that will be a huge piece of that moving forward. Your point, and I'm sorry because you started to speak and I.
Oh, sorry, Catherine. I didn't.
It's hard. You're like at opposite ends, and I'm all the way out here and never leave.
So, I know you don't have more space for a fifth one, but I'm wondering if we would want to have something that I think is already in process, which is thinking about the climate of our school district and sort of a goal that is about assessing the current climate of the school district and coming up with an action plan to respond to that.
When you say climate, can you be just say more so I will understand more fully?
The morale of the employees within the district and sort of the work environment aspect of the teaching and learning goal area.
That doesn't tie to a goal, does it?
I know we do have a climate survey that I think would tie nicely to goal one, but it's for the children. I think the climate survey really tagged on parents responding. I don't know about that. So I think that ties more with what we have for goal one with like social emotional learning. We can use the survey in development of the communications for greater transparency. I don't know if how do you see that? Does that send us off in a
Again, I think you could either do it as part of the first goal in terms of social-emotional learning and actually getting a sense from the kids, the parents, and community members around the culture and the climate of the district, but primarily kids and staff and parents as opposed to community members in that instance because you want people who are actually here in the buildings to weigh in on that, and or you can do that as part of your communication piece. It's a separate piece, but again, I think it's implicit in the first goal that in order to know what kind of programs you need in terms of integration of social emotional learning, you need to measure where kids are and also where staff is.
I was thinking more the social and emotional well-being of our employees, not of the children, so I don't know if that's steps what we would set as a goal, but I think it's distinct from the social and emotional learning for the children, and I wouldn't want it to supersede that one, but I see it as separate.
Again, it's up to the board.
So is that a fifth goal?
That would be five.
It would be a fifth goal.
Are we allowed to do five?
Is that a problem?
Is there a limit?
Actually, we really don't recommend more than three or four goals typically for a district because we find what happens is then you have a lot of goals, but the focus becomes very diluted in an attempt to do that. I would also suggest that, you know, anytime there is at the risk of
And I was, let me preface my remarks, given the audience, because you should always know your audience. I was a former high school teacher. I was president of the Teachers Association. I have sat where you are sitting. But I would say I think that that's probably a goal that is better undertaken in a year when you are not negotiating, quite honestly. In fairness, just as a thought, okay? So I really mean no offense. Honestly, I truly do not. I just think you're going to get one measurement one year versus another measurement another year. And again, you know, I'm not so sure of the absolute value of that.
Michelle, I don't know if we do it as a survey, you know, as Gwen is suggesting, but is it possible to tie it into goal area one, number five, with professional development? It seems like a doable bucket.
To put the climate survey into one?
I don't know about a survey, but do something about the climate and how Catherine put it for the staff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I know that's one of the things that we've started to address is not just the kids, but our staff.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about balance.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's working.
Well, I think it's well stated where all individuals are inspired to reach beyond. So thinking about how we frame our goals so that we incorporate all individuals makes sense.
Mm. All right. Yeah. So are we good?
I think so.
Yep. I keep knocking this thing off then. Okay. Are we all right with those?
Yeah.
Okay, the other kind of goal that we typically set is a board, at least one board goal for the year. Your board goals are really specific to your operation, how you work as a group together, your efficiency, how effective you are. And here are the next steps in the goal setting process for district goals and also for board goals. The superintendent's going to work with the staff to develop action plans that will have timelines. The board will review the action plans and the superintendent will establish with the board dates for progress reports on where you are on the goals. We recommend that you do that quarterly, but at least three times a year, so that not only do you as a board know the progress that's being made on the goals, but your community will know what the progress is on working toward achievement of those goals as well. And I think that that's really an important piece to keep in mind. So,
is there a suggested calendar, like you do it in March and June?
We would generally suggest that you do it probably in January, February. Absolutely do it in March or April before you begin the superintendent's evaluation. And then do it again at the close of the school year to help close out the school year so you know in totality what has done, you know, had been accomplished. Okay? Typically, we would suggest and recommend doing goal setting earlier than this. If you could find a way clear to do it, goal setting in late June or early July, it gives your administration the time over the summer to develop action plans. And it also means then that there's a longer period of time for them to work toward achievement of those goals. So if you start earlier in that cycle, you gain a month or two. Which is something you might want to work forward to doing. So it really is about what kind of professional development does the board need to support your efforts. And so I'm going to go out on a limb here just because I do that regularly. And my suggestion would be for the board to consider holding a retreat to talk about establishing norms for board behaviors. What shall we do before the meeting? What should we do during the meeting? What should we do after the meeting? So that we could be more effective as a board. And perhaps looking at that as an ongoing goal where we may meet more than one time in order to work through that. in order to be a more collaborative team. We know that boards and superintendents that work well together through research has proven those districts have higher levels of student achievement. And so one of my goals for you all would be to have you be able to work more effectively together as a team. So that would be my suggestion for a board goal for all of you for 2019-20. And we could set a time to really begin working on that process. What does that look like? Let's develop some common norms around how we're going to operate, what works for everyone, come to consensus, and really begin to build a more collaborative team. I don't know how that strikes all of you, but in my experience, that would seem to me to be something that might be beneficial to all of you.
I agree.
Can you just send me some dates?
I need the Home Depot easy button. Was it Lowe's?
Staples,
that was easy.
Okay. I will send you
some dates, okay? And I will write that up because I know what I said, so I will write that up later so I don't hold up your meeting. Thank you very much. You've been delightful as always, truly. Thank you. It is always a pleasure to be in Clinton Township. I will get this back to you shortly in a day or two, and I certainly hope to see at least some of you at workshop in Atlantic City. It's in a couple of weeks. If you've never been, it's a wonderful opportunity for professional development. It's a great opportunity to network with board members from across the state, and it's lots of fun. In addition to all of that, it's fun as well. So if you have a chance and you can get there, please, I look forward to seeing some of you.
Can I just ask a quick clarification? The goals that Dr. Cohn presented and the ones that are in this spiral notebook are not quite the same?
No.
Are the official ones the ones that Dr. Cohn presented?
The strategic planning goals will remain the same. What we've done is to pull from what Michelle has done, not we, but you all collectively, has pulled from those goal areas the specifics she wants to work.
That's not what I'm asking.
Okay.
So you have spelled out here goal number one and four areas, goal number two and so on. They're not worded exactly what you had, and I think there are five in here and you had four. So
right, because they combined.
When we go to approve those, are we?
You're combining the combination of health and wellness. When I printed that, that had not yet happened. But it made good sense to me to combine them. And so this was printed long ago, and again.
So Dr. Cohn's are the final ones.
Yes, yeah, my apologies for the delay in getting those summaries back to you. I've had them for a while. My apologies for that.
Thank you.
So, okay.
Thank you, Ms. Lawrence.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Moving on in our agenda, I'd like to first thank the Clinton Township PTA for supplying us all with our annual calendar for the 2019-2020 school year. So thank you so much for our gift this evening. The Clinton Township Board of Education typically holds its monthly board meetings on the last Monday of each month. There are times, however, when the board meetings are not held on the last Monday of a month. That would include those meetings that are required to be held to comply with state-mandated deadlines, the scheduled last day of school, and the beginning of spring break. We recognize that tonight's meeting is being held during Rosh Hashanah, a holiday of great significance to those of the Jewish faith. Unfortunately, September is a very difficult month to find an open night to hold our monthly board meeting. The district has back-to-school nights, board committee meetings to be held, and time for the agenda to be prepared once the committee meetings are over. We'd like to apologize for any inconvenience that this scheduled meeting has caused for those employees and members of the Clinton Township community who celebrate this holiday. In the future, we will continue to do our best to avoid scheduling a Board of Education meeting during such a meaningful religious holiday. I'd like to move on, please, to the report of the Superintendent of Schools. Dr. Cohn, may we have your report, please?
Yes, good evening. This evening, the enrollment report is 1,221. There are no suspensions. There are five in total HIBs for first reading. There are no HIBs for second reading. couple of items of interest this evening. Mashio's Food Service and the business office have been hard at work to organize food advisory groups. Students will get to come out and taste food and tell us what they like, which is wonderful. This will help us provide the students with foods that they love, along with their parents that can learn about the healthy choices within the food service department. Students from each school will be invited to sit in and take part in taste tests and offer feedback based on their perspective. The first meeting will begin in October at Patrick McGarren School. All of the school buildings will have an opportunity to participate. Invitations will be sent out, you know, as we go with these meetings. Dietitians, chefs will be out from Mashio's to talk to the students and their parents about, you know, what are healthy choices, what do we have, you know, here, what would you like instead. So it should be a fun and tasty event for all of the kids.
No, they always,
yes, pun intended. So a couple other items that you'll see on the agenda this evening. There is an item for teaching assistants. I just would like to clarify this item. We've learned not to have all of our eggs in one basket, so to speak. So we typically can have Hunterdon County ESC provide us with service providers for the special education department and occasionally with part-time TAs. We have another resource for that as well this evening on the agenda. It is not a replacement of our own staff by any means. This is just another resource when we get into a position where we happen to need a part-time person. So I wanted to clarify that. A couple other items. We have training for lunch and recess aides listed. You know, oftentimes those employees that are on a part-time basis don't have the opportunity to stay for a training. And so what we wanted to do is offer those trainings to our lunch and recess aides. All of them in the district will be offered these opportunities to get paid to come and be trained for various things. So we do work in times when those employees can sit, maybe come a little early and, you know, learn about HIV or, you know, other health and safety things, but we really wanted to offer an opportunity to sit with other groups and learn with their colleagues, and so that's what that's about. The topic of school security is one that's always at the forefront of all of our minds, especially those of you that are in the building on a daily basis. And so, you know, how we keep our students and staff safe has also been an ongoing discussion, not just in-house, but with myself, with law enforcement, and other superintendents in the state, as well as our county. This is a really difficult topic as we strive to keep our students safe, yet not want to let go of the world that most of us grew up in. And that's the difficult part. While I can't divulge the specifics of our security plan, that's the nature of security, we're asking for some parent help with some of this. And that begins with some of the conversations that I've had with the PTA. And in an effort to ensure safety and security, a change for school celebrations is needed. And we are unfortunately behind in this aspect. In discussions, we've asked the PTA to assist the district by limiting the number of parents attending celebrations, by scheduling a maximum of 4 homeroom parents per classroom to assist in each of the celebrations. We're suggesting that it might be beneficial to rotate these. It's up to the PTA how they'd like to handle that. At the same time, we understand that this can be a difficult change for parents. We're looking to keep the students safe at the same time as, you know, give them the childhood that they so deserve. So we're asking for support in this. More information will be coming out, a letter to the community from myself to give you the specifics of this, but this is really, in a nutshell, what we're asking to do, is to limit the number of parents in the building. It's very difficult to monitor throughout the day and to ensure the safety of our students and staff. So more information will be coming from me in a letter format about these celebrations. Thank you. That's my report for this evening.
Thank you, Dr. Cohn. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 20SU004 to 20SU005.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second. Ms. Olasky first. Our motion is Mr. Malloy. Any questions?
006.
We don't have anything to report. So. May we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Zalowski?
Yes.
Dr. Riyamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only to guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual. Our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions and comments that a member of the public may make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they'll be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it'll be addressed by the board president and superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic will be heard. If you'd like to address the board this evening on agenda items only, please approach a microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes.
Good evening. As many of you know, my name is Kelly Hill, and I'm the proud president of the Clinton Township Education Association. I stand before you on behalf of the nearly 200 teachers, secretaries, teaching assistants, custodians in our district schools. I know that all our time is valuable, so I'm going to get right to the point. We are here tonight because we have a problem in Clinton Township. In fact, we have a lot of problems. We have a communications and transparency problem. We have a lack of administration consistency and fiscal management problem. We have a mutual respect problem. And most notably, we have a turnover problem. Take a look at the balloons that fill this room. Each balloon represents one of the 120 excellent employees who have chosen to leave this district in the last 5 years, rather than continue to bear the effects of these problems. You must know on some level the effects of this problem, since you have finally begun to hold a recognition ceremony for the veteran employees who are still here. Yet you chose to do it on a night when members of the community and staff being recognized could not attend because of their holiday, demonstrating once again the lack of respect for the staff and knowing your community members. And while it's great to recognize this dedicated staff, and quite timely given the social media conversation about our ongoing issues, it's going to take more than just this effort to rectify the wrongs. And I'm not referring to contract negotiations. Contrary to what you may think and have been told, CTA members care more about than just getting a good deal at the bargaining table. We care deeply about these problems and their effect on the students we work with and the community that they live in. So tonight, we are here to deliver a clear, unequivocal message. We will no longer remain silent and watch this district run itself into the ground. This insanity must end. Clinton Township is too special to allow room for anyone to continue to stifle its potential and derail our students' educational success. Looking around, you're surrounded by award-winning, capable, committed staff. Aside from tonight, many members of this board, especially its leadership, choose to intimidate and deter them from expressing their views. Well, let me make it perfectly clear. That stops right here, right now. Anytime a CTA member expresses his or her concerns about the district to you, to administrator, to parents, he or she is engaging in their protected union activity. So starting right this second, if any single one of my members are harassed, transferred without cause, or otherwise made to feel that they are not permitted to stand up and speak out, we will take action available to us under the law. The era of our silence is now over. You can choose to work with us or against us. The choice is yours. Either way, it's a beginning of a new era for all of us. Thank you.
Like to address the board this evening? Well, seeing none, I'll close the floor and open up public comment section to the first recognition of public. Everything I mentioned a moment ago regarding the public comment section on agenda items only apply here. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone and state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. I'd like to move on.
Hi, my name's Maureen McSweeney. I live at 15 Foxfire Lane. I just wanted to come up once again. I've come to lots of board meetings every time they have them now, and each time it's the same thing. I'm concerned and discouraged because there's no settlement on the contracts. My children are now in the high school, so they're not even in this district, although I still live in the area. The entire time my children have gone through the whole system, not once has there ever been an accurate settlement where they haven't dragged it out for years before they finally negotiate and stuff comes around. By the time they're over 800 days now that they haven't had a contract. So by the time they get the contract, it'll be time for another one. And it's been the entire time that my kids have been in school. The teachers are wonderful. I'm lucky. My children have done wonderfully. They've got very good grades. They've done whatever, but that's because the teachers have done a good job with them. So when you listen to the goals of the lady who was here before, and she's talking about the board members this and the and how it reflects and how it's the administration hasn't helped my kids get good grades and do stuff. The teachers have. So the teachers, in my opinion, are the people that need the support. And if having, out of the last 10 years of contracts, I'm not quite sure, at least since my children have been here, 9 of them have been in negotiations the entire time, which I personally feel is ridiculous. I don't know why there's so much secrecy to it. It's very upsetting, and I think that you need a change. Something needs to change so that there's some kind of thing that actually works, because it's not working now, and it's very disheartening as a member of the public. And I'm still coming back, even though my kids aren't even in school here, because I think it's ridiculous that we don't support our teachers. Thank you.
My name's Melissa Donovan. My daughter just started. She's a kindergartner. Her wonderful teacher is sitting here. And I'm kind of piggybacking off the last woman who was up here. I've been to a couple meetings in the spring with my neighbor who has some kids further along the district. I am a speech therapist, so I am in the world of education, and I am dealing with kids with very multiple special needs, so I know what's going on and what the decisions you guys have to make up here, and also what all of you wonderful people in the audience deal with on a daily basis. It makes me sad. Actually, I was getting really choked up when you spoke, Mrs. Hill, because I know how hard you guys work every day. And as my daughter starts her educational journey, and I have a son 2 years behind her, I want my kids to have the best education as an educator. And I really hope we can find some compromise with all these wonderful, hardworking people in the audience, so that I know over the course of the next 15 years that I plan on being in the school district, because we don't foresee going anywhere, that I know my kids will be receiving the best education, which is also why we moved here 7 years ago, was because as an educator 7 years ago, I knew this was a great place to raise a family and to go to school. So I just want to thank all of you in the audience for everything you do every day. And the first month was a little rocky at times, but she's enjoying school, so thank you.
Good evening. My name is Rebecca Chiklis. We moved here about 4.5 years ago. I'm actually a middle school counselor down in Morris County, so I have a pretty decent commute, and I do that commute every single day because I moved here for the same reasons as the woman who spoke before me. I wanted to raise a family here. We absolutely love the community, and it's very, very, very disheartening to hear everything that's been going on. Again, as an educator, I just started my 8th school year. I have many master's degrees. I'm very close with my administrators in my building, and I know what goes on in the ins and outs. I know the politics of the board. I get all that stuff. I have a 3.5 and a 1.5-year-old. So as quickly as the time has gone since I've moved here, they're going to be in your hands just as quickly. And I hope and pray that the parents that I deal with every single day see me as an extension of what they do at home, and I would hope the same with all of you guys. So I too also want to extend a huge, we got your back. I know it's very, 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 very difficult in education. They just keep piling more and more on top. Again, as a counselor, sales, social emotional learning, mindfulness, all that kind of stuff. Everything I've always been taught, you gotta take care of you before you can ever help somebody else. So I just really wanna make sure that everyone is being taken care of here, whether it's yoga music on the way home or screaming music on the way home, whatever it might be, because we've all had those meetings, we've all had those nights and those days as well. Again, my kids aren't even in the school system yet, and everything that I've been hearing going on just in ShopRite, not even on social media, I don't believe half that stuff, but just hearing what people have to say, and it really, really is very concerning. So again, I don't even have any kids in the school system yet, and I hope that as soon as we can get a contract, get you guys all squared away. And again, thank you for everything you do beyond outside of your contract. Thank you.
Quickly to the BA's report, and then we'll come back.
Sure. Up for approval tonight are our July and August Board Secretary and Treasurer report, as well as our bills list from July 31st through August 31st.
Thank you. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 20BA004 to 20BA005.
Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Dr. Yamaki. Any questions? No, seeing none. Maybe we have a roll call, please.
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Olosky?
Yes.
Dr. Yamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brand.
Yes. Motion carries. So we're going to jump back to President's comments for 1 second. We're having some technical difficulties here for a second, so I apologize. On behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to we would like to recognize the staff of our school district for years of service. These individuals were recognized and honored by Dr. Cohn and her administrative staff on the first day back to the district in August. But the board would also like to recognize the following individuals. First, we'd like to recognize those individuals that were granted tenure this year. Caroline Butler, is she here? Jessica Comerford,
Dorothy Daniello. Angela Dimitrikowski.
Thank you.
Shari Schultz, Caitlin Bonna, and Shari. And Elise Pazinski Colin. Sorry. For 10 years of service, the Board of Education would like to recognize Annette Gunther. Heather Stanley. Ellen Sidbury. Katie Shea. Jeff Shanklin. Kristen McCray. Allison Lefebvre.
Allison Lefebvre.
For 15 years of service, Mr. Scott Annan. Diane Chalminiak. Anna Dieterle. Patty Forda. Mr. Don Helmstetter. Mr. Greg James. Mary Junge. Rose Mastriani, Elizabeth Sicente, Julie Snee, and Ruth Steen. For 20 years of service to this district, Ms. Sherry Ann Parsh. Carrie Moore. Suzanne Molinet. She was over here a second ago, Roberta Grambor. And Miss Lizanne Bartram. And for an incredible 25 years of service, Ms. Jean Kincaid. Ms. Judy Johnson. So on behalf of the board, we'd like to congratulate each and every one of you and thank you for your service to our children. I'd like to move on to the report of our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Kevin Malloy is the chair of that committee. Mr. Malloy, may we please have the report of your committee, sir?
Yes. The Facilities and Finance Committee had a fairly wide-ranging meeting this past September 19th. We covered a long list of topics, some of which were covered in superintendent's comments, including security surrounding our facilities and processes going forward, the Mascio's Food Advisory Committee, which is pretty exciting. Other issues that we discussed was we have a long-range facilities plan. It is done. It is hyper-detailed. And it is, I believe, available in the board office for those on the board who wish to review it. And it's even color-coded. So that's pretty cool. We are executing, a VA search. We discussed how to do that on a contracted basis. We are going over some sustainable grant applications right now. We are looking at, and this is all going to be obviously that we're voting on, we're looking at a software program called Board Docs that will allow the board to create agendas, not only going forward in an easier way, but also to go back and look at prior agendas, minutes, and things like that. That's on the agenda for this evening to be moved. We've accepted gratefully a couple of grants, as well as a donation of handicap signage for the elections at Spruce Run. We will be, and we discussed HIV training as mandated for our board, which will be happening at our next meeting on the 28th of October. We hired a pest, or we announced a pest management supervisor. Pest management, of course, being a proactive term. There is not an infestation. You have pest management to prevent an infestation. Disposing of some old computer and electronics equipment, as well as graciously thanking the PTA for the donation of staff water. So a couple other items on that. So we've got 31 items to move this evening, including bills payment, continuing education and staff travel, the aforementioned grant acceptance, a quick amendment of an April item, basically just changing some dates. We are going to be building scheduling construction for the 19-20 year. That's on this agenda as well for this month. HIV trainings we've talked about, the approval of a facilitator for a leadership team retreat approval, acceptance of the donation for signage for ADA compliance at Spruce Run, use of board docs for creating the 19-20 agendas, 8 IEP compliance issues, case management approval, Hunterdon County ESC child study team approval, for budgeting, for meetings, case management, evals, et cetera, on an as-needed basis. 2 non-public school payments, which we talk about in prior meetings, where we act as a fiduciary for monies given to the state that are not going to public schools, but rather private. 2 items going to Acorn Montessori. Approval for the term for the search of a BA on a contract basis. CPR training to our district staff. As well as offering out-of-district staff training at $99 per person per day, with every 5th professional free. That's part and parcel with what we're trying to accomplish at Spruce Run. Approval of our long-range facilities plan and approval of John Masuka for pest control coordinator. So with that, I seek a motion on 20FF029 through 20FF059.
Move motion.
Thank you.
Second, please.
You got a second from Kate Emery, I believe, or Lana?
Ms. Burton.
We need buzzers.
Any questions for Mr. Malloy? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes, on everything, but I would like to abstain from action 20-FF-054.
Delta T for the teaching aid.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Olosky?
Yes.
Dr. Iamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Moving on now to the report to our personnel committee. Our personnel committee had a rather lengthy discussion the other evening. And so therefore we put forward the following resolutions for consideration of the board. We're looking for approval to hire 2 lunch recess aides, the hiring of school nurse and 3 teaching assistants, the approval for substitute nurses at $200 per day. We're looking for the approval for a long list this evening of staff from CTMS to serve as chaperones for the 2019-2020 school year. We're looking for the approval for lunch and recess monitors to attend training for 1 hour per month. We're looking to approve a new webmaster and a new co-curricular advisor for the yearbook. We're also looking to increase the hourly rate for substitute custodians from $13 an hour to $17. Committee is also looking for approval for staff to serve as mentors for the 2019-2020 school year as per negotiated contract to all novice teachers. We're also looking for the approval for the designated Round Valley staff to be co-curricular advisors for the Memory Book, Student Council, Golden Eagle Singers. It is with regret that we
look for approval and accept the retirement of Miss Ellen Sidbury. And on behalf of the Board of Education, we'd like to wish Miss Sidbury the very best in her retirement. And then with her retirement announcement, we're also looking to vote for approval on her replacement as well. And finally, it's regret that we are looking for approval for the resignation of a member of our child study team. So with that, I would like to move action items 20P-74 to 20P-105. Oh, two additions, sorry about that. So I'd like to look for a motion for 20-P-074 to 20-P-107.
Motion.
Motion, Dr. Grantham. Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Mr. Malloy?
You can give it a second.
I think it's just because you're further and your voice is closer. Any questions this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Olosky?
Yes.
Dr. Reed Mackey?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion passes. Moving on to the report of our policy committee. Ms. Brooks is the chair of that committee. Ms. Brooks, may we have the report of your committee, please?
Absolutely. The policy committee met on the 24th of this month, and while there are only three items on our list here, they do not in any way represent the volume of paper that was gone through in order to achieve this list. We read through first readings of the mandated policies that are part of the 2000 series. The mandated policies are, essentially, they are set for us by the state. We must have them as among our policies, but the wording is not within our control. So it was basically just a rereading of them to make sure that we were all familiar and that we do indeed have all of these mandatory policies. So the first reading was completed. You can see the list 2000 from 2110 to 2460. Next month, we will move on to the non-mandatory policies in the 2000 section. We also did the second reading for all of the policies in the 1000 series. This included policy 1613, which is disclosure and review of applicants' employment history. This is a mandated policy, but is new. We did discuss it at the last meeting briefly. It is about passing the requirement for previous employers to provide, when requested, information about any behavior on the part of someone that's being considered for hiring into a teaching or to a school district, so that we hopefully avoid bringing problems into the district that are avoidable. There were also changes to the harassment, intimidation, and bullying policy 5512. This is to incorporate changes in the law that allow us to implement we've been calling it HIB Lite for short. It's essentially, it allows the principal some latitude to decide whether an incident actually rises to the level of harassment, intimidation, or bullying, or if it's just a personal conflict between two students. There is still transparency. Parents are still notified. However, it is a much lighter administrative burden on the school districts, and it has been successfully implemented throughout the state for a year. We watched it for that time to make sure that it wasn't going to get us into trouble to implement it. It appears to be well written, and we're going to be implementing it ourselves this year. In addition, we are approving requests for pupil transportation within Clinton Township as listed in the agenda for 17 students. With that, I'd like to request a motion to approve action items 20PO002 through 20PO004.
Motion. Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Good job.
What happened to my mic? You cut my mic.
So I have a question, and maybe this is for Mr. Gagliardi. So the titles of these don't match the exact titles on the policies? And is that a problem? I mean, they match the table of contents on the policies, but they don't match the titles of the policies themselves. So, for example, the easiest one for me to remember is it doesn't say course guides, it says curricular guides. And it obviously we have the sentiment correct here, but
so
is that a problem?
So the short answer to your question is it's not a problem if board members know what they're voting on. So if the numbers line up, but there are some words transposed or synonyms used as like courses instead of curriculum, that sort of thing, as long as the board members know what they're voting on, it's not a problem. If there's a question, that should be cleared up before the vote.
Are there anything? No, I know what I'm voting on. I just want to make sure that, I mean, our table of contents don't match the titles, so need to clean that up.
Good call. I read the numbers. I didn't read the titles. So.
But we talked in committee about the titles changing to meet the mandate, and you know, there was a difference, but the numbers were going to stay the same, so we were taking what Strauss has gave us.
That's okay. That's right. Thank you. Right. I'd forgotten that.
Yep.
Question? Regarding COR 015 and participation in sustainable schools for New Jersey and the creation of a green team, is this something that we're doing of our own initiative? Is this guidance?
We're not there yet.
I apologize.
You're out of order.
I'm out of order.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get back to it after Kate's second.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none, maybe we have a roll call, please.
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Olosky?
Yes.
Dr. Riamaki?
Yes.
Ms. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. Staying with Ms. Brooks as chair of this particular committee, Ms. Brooks, can you please give the report of your curriculum committee?
It would be my pleasure.
Thank you.
The curriculum committee also met on the 24th because I'm a martyr. And the curriculum committee this time would like to ask for approval of hiring a number of contractors for, the contractor for providing readers and writers workshop. We are pleased to be raising the issue of several teachers, Eileen Black, Courtney Chip, and Charles Roberto, will be using non-identifiable student data from their classes as research for their master's thesis at Centenary University. Congratulations, all of you. We look forward to seeing the results of that work. The board also approves a student at risk and protective factors survey from Montclair University and the New Jersey Department of Education. If I recall correctly, this is something we have done in the past, and it is helpful for letting us know if there is anything for which we should be making sure we're covering, basically, for our students. In addition, we are seeking to participate in Sustainable New Jersey for Schools to focus attention and efforts on matters of sustainability. Do I need to read the entire proclamation here? Okay, so there are a number of things that we're already doing in the district that essentially meet the, I don't know if you want to call them requirements, but meet the goals that are stated by the Sustainable New Jersey Commission here, and we are going to more actively, proactively seek to meet more of those requirements. For example, we've changed our cleaning supplies to something much less toxic than we were using before, but still is effective. If those of you who remember the germ apocalypse we had last year. And there are benefits to the district, I believe, in terms of grants for this, if we meet certain standards. So you said you had questions, we can
have to read, yeah.
Okay. We also approved the following field trips, fifth graders to Valley Community College Theater, a small group of eight sixth grade students to Artline at the 100 and Art Museum, and the Poetry Club in grades 6 through 8 to the Hopop Middle School. The AM and PM SRS students to Mellix Farm, grade 5 to the Junior Solar Sprint Extension at Kingwood Township School, and grade 8 to Gettysburg National Park, and I go to. We also approved two observations placements, a student counselor from Centenary University and a college student from Raritan Valley Community College will be placed with district staff for observation. That having wrapped them up, I am looking for a motion to approve action items. Where do we start? There we go. CUR 010 through CUR 019. Motion.
Second, please.
Second.
Second, Ms. Brennan.
Any questions?
Yes, the one question. Just for edification, so the sustainability of the creation of the GREET team, this is the tie back to what I discussed in facilities and finance. It's literally the implementation of how we're getting to these grants, correct?
Yes.
That's just what I'm, so everybody in the public understands.
Yeah, so it involves things like the students growing their own vegetables and then serving them in the lunchrooms, and the cleaning staff using orange brand products, I believe it is now, and it's a whole variety of initiatives from different light bulbs to...
Bleach for emergencies only.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But lots of it.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No. Seeing none, maybe a roll call, please.
Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Olofsky?
Yes.
Dr. Riyamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Graham?
Yes. Motion carries. We have a negotiations committee for the CTEA, CTAA. Neither one of those committees have a report for this evening. The communications committee will meet in October. We're working to try to find a date where all the committee members can meet. The feasibility of closing a school ad hoc committee has nothing to report this evening either. So I'd like to open the floor this evening to old business of the board. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. Not a time to make personal statements, rather is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to business of the board. So are there any board members who have any old business they would like to bring up?
Can we get an update on the sewer issue?
I do not have an update on the sewer issue tonight.
Okay.
What I do know is that Mr. Bausch has been working closely with the homeowners.
From what I understand now, it's beyond the two that we originally knew about, right?
Another second opinion has been involved, and I'm waiting for the final word on what that means for us.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to new business of the board. Same parameters I just mentioned for old business of the board apply here. If you'd have any new business you'd like to bring up.
I will say that the...
LB, lean in.
What? I was just going to say that on October 17th is the county school board meeting.
Oh, great.
So I know it's so close, and facilities and finance aren't going. However, if anyone else wants to go, I found them. I know Dr. Maki has gone. I found them very informational, and I really enjoy going. But, you know, there's food.
And you said October 17th?
October 17th.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to open the floor to second recognition of public. Same parameters I mentioned before on agenda items only apply here. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this second recognition of public to 10 minutes. Okay, seeing none, Mr. Gagliardi, sir.
All right, so there's a, on the agenda there is a motion to go into executive session. My understanding, given the bold estimated length of 180 minutes, is that the board is considering a motion only for personnel purposes, is that right?
For the first part.
For the first part. If there's any action, the board can come out and take action. The board will have to come out and take action if it's going to move for an attorney-client privilege discussion, which involves a legal matter, an ongoing legal matter, as well as any negotiations update. So that will necessitate the board coming back into public, doing whatever it chooses to do as a result of the personnel discussion, and then making a second motion to go back for what undoubtedly will be the lengthier executive session. No less fun, just longer.
Mr. Polkowski, can you read the executive session?
Sure.
Just the personnel, sir.
Whereas while Senator Byron Byrne and Mayor Open Public Community Act, NJSA 10:486, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, in NJSA 10:4-12B, such forth nine types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during executive session. Whereas any pending,
isn't there a Cliff's Notes version?
Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body remains a party, any matter formed with an attorney-client approved, the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviews hearing information before the board pursuant to NJSA 18A:37-13.2. So we're going to do personnel only. Mm-hmm. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be
45 minutes,
after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be resolved that Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved, the board hereby declares that discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as a reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you.
Second.
Wait, looking for a motion to go into executive session?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in session. Mr. Gagliardi, sir.
Thank you, Madam President. The board was in executive session for the purpose of discussing the merit goals of the superintendent for 18-19 and proposed merit goals for 19-20. As a result, there are two actions for the board to consider. At the request of the president, I will read each. The first, as it relates to 18-19, which is going to be labeled P108. The motion, resolved that the board agrees that the superintendent of schools has satisfied the 2018-19 qualitative and quantitative goals and approves payment of same subject to the approval of the executive county superintendent of schools, paren, noting that the dollar figure in the goals are the amount at issue as the percentages are miswritten, close paren, period.
Thank you. Is that both
of them? We're doing one at a time.
One at a time. Looking for a motion, please, for action item P108.
Motion.
Second.
Mrs. Brooks. Mrs. Solowski. Can we do consent?
It's personnel, so you can do consent. It's not money. Well, it is money. Actually, do roll call.
Roll call. Can I have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Solowski?
Yes.
Dr. Iamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brennan?
Yes. Motion carries.
All right, what is now going to be P109, resolved that the board and superintendent of schools have conferred and established proposed qualitative and quantitative goals for 2019-20, and the board hereby approves same, subject to the approval of the executive county superintendent of schools as required by law.
Thank you, Mr. Gagliardi. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item P019.
P109,
sorry.
Motion.
Motion, Ms. Emery. Second, Dr. Grantham.
Sure. Yes.
Any questions? Can we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Ms. Brennan?
Yes.
Ms. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Olowski?
Yes.
Dr. Iamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brennan?
Yes. Motion carries. Looking for a motion. Do we have to read the whole statement again?
God, no. So the motion would be subject to the same restrictions as the executive session motion previously made by the board. The subject matter of this executive session, however, is limited to an attorney-client privilege discussion as it relates to pending litigation. And is there a negotiations update?
Yes.
And negotiations.
I'm looking for a motion, please, to go back into executive session.
Yeah, it's the other, whatever's left over the 180
motion
minutes.
Motion, Kevin.
He's got 45 minutes.
Second?
Yes.
Dr. Hamaki? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in executive session. Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting, please?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in session. Looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting, please?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.